Welcome to the Gifters Podcast. I'm your host, Christopher Kai. This podcast is sponsored by the GPS online program, which Forbes has stated helps entrepreneurs become professional speakers. For more information, go to ChristopherKai.com.
Our next guest is Gustavo Hayes. Gustavo loves helping people learn more and better. He's been doing this for 25 years as a teacher and a professional speaker. Gustavo, thanks for being on our Gifters podcast, where your story is gift to the world.
Well, thank you, Christopher. It's a pleasure to be here.
So I really love when we have people from all around the world, and today we have our first Brazilian from Porto Alegre. So Gustavo, if you wanted to paint a very clear, beautiful picture that's stunning, where after they hear this, they all want to get on a plane and come visit you or your country, what's one thing you most admire about not just your country, but what specific city that you live in? What's something that you want to share with our guests?
Well, Christopher, it's a bad thing that the World Cup is over. The 2014 World Cup is over. We were one of the host cities in Brazil, and we have two very beautiful stadiums. There's a big rivalry between two soccer teams here in Porto Alegre. They both have won before the Club World Cup, joining a very, very limited group of clubs worldwide, such as Real Madrid, Barcelona, and that makes us all very proud. My city, Porto Alegre, is not a very well-known tourist destination, but it's definitely a place where people can, you know, spend maybe one or two nights before they go to the most beautiful places in the country, which are mostly in the northeast with great beaches, and then Rio with all, you know, the samba, and maybe, you know, a few miles away from here, there's a region which reminds people of some European destinations, because it's probably the only place in Brazil where you can get some cold weather. you know, sometime in the year. I mean, temperature can get to the 30s and 40s on a regular basis here in July and August. So, but in a nutshell, this is where I'm talking from.
Nice. So I have a very connected spirit to anyone that's an educator. And in Gustavo's case, he's very passionate about education. I'm curious, what inspired you and what led you in that direction? Because you're a smart guy, you're an ambitious guy, you speak a lot. What did you decide in your heart that you wanted to get into education?
Oh, great question, Christopher. I guess I have a clearer picture right now, a better picture of these reasons compared to what I felt for most of the past 25 years while I hadn't studied a lot of in terms of what can stimulate a teacher to move on, to move forward. I had the privilege to pursue a master's degree in strategic design recently. I just presented my research work in 2015. And I found out that probably the biggest source of inspiration is emotional, is based on affection instead of based on cognition. People usually tend to learn better when they behave better, and usually people behave better when they like the people they are working with. So when teachers they create real authentic connections, and they like their students, and vice versa, when students enjoy the company of their teachers, they usually focus more, they are more dedicated, they pursue their objectives with more energy. And the one thing that that can drive results in this mixture of dimensions is probably emotion, if you will. That's probably what I would say is the most regular or the most effective source of inspiration is trying to be close to the students, regardless of, you know, proximity, regardless of geography, of where people are located, but feeling close to each other and then using this proximity to drive behavior so that people can achieve their objectives in a satisfactory fashion.
So that sounds like a professor talking, Gustavo. I want to know the six-year-old Gustavo who met a teacher or your mother or father, like who inspired you as a kid to really see that direction?
Oh, as a kid, I'm sorry.
No worries.
Recent perspective question. I mean, Christopher, probably, I mean, I always was very talkative. I never, ever had, you know, any problems to make friends. But I never thought about being a teacher until after I had already enrolled in the computer science course. So, you know, there's this cake side that, you know, brought me close to computers and to applications and to systems and so forth. But on the other side, I always felt very comfortable talking to people. And then when I was 16, I ended up having an opportunity to give it a shot in a local school that prepares students to university admission exams. And I gave it a shot. I tried and I enjoyed. And then, you know, maybe 1 or 2 months later, I was hired to help people, not as a full teacher, of course, since I was 16 at that time, but as a sort of a tutor or a monitor or someone who would help them when they had specific questions or who would replace teachers if they had, you know, a sick license or something like that, a sick leave of absence. So I mean, you know, it probably wasn't on my radar screen when I was 6 or 7. But as soon as I started and I had the opportunity to help people and to make friends in the process, I was completely in love with education, and that's what I've been doing for most of the time ever since.
And that's great. And I want to hone in on one point, because a lot of people unfortunately lose their way. And what I mean by that is, when I was in high school, I started in leadership roles and I was super nervous. I had sweaty palms. I was pacing back and forth. I was a horrible speaker. And then when I got to university, I started really owning my role as a leader. And I remember one of my friends named Henry said, you know, I want to be like Christopher. I want to be charismatic. And I didn't even know what that word meant, Gustavo, at the time. But what I'm saying is, after graduate university, I was at these day jobs. I hated it. I didn't feel that sense of passion, that conviction, that sense of warmth and community that I had when I was a student leader. But it goes back to what you're saying, like those turning points in our lives are when our eyes are wide open, our mouths are salivating, our ears are wide, they're listening, they're hearing, they're seeing, they're smelling, all the sensories. And so I just want our listeners to know that when you hear Gustavo, he just sounds so genuine, so just intentional. And we all have that. But I think sometimes we forget, like with me, for instance, if I forgot how I felt in university with student leadership and I didn't have the courage to pursue my own entrepreneurial dream, I wouldn't be where I am. And going back to Gustavo, same thing with you. It seems like you've had this journey, but I want our listeners to know that you don't have to know all the answers, but it's really how you feel about where you are right now. And it sounds like with you, Gustavo, you just followed your path. You were talkative, but when you started seeing what you really enjoy, what you don't enjoy, you're doing this for 25 years and you still have that great passion, because unfortunately, sometimes I meet educators and they just have this hubris, this, hello, Gustavo Heiss, I'm Christopher Kai. I've spoken a lot. Like, they just don't have that humanity anymore where they don't really want to connect. They just want to talk to you and not talk with you and connect with you. So I really appreciate you leading by example of how educators should be, in that you're just graceful, you're communicative, but your intention is to serve. So I appreciate that. And I hope our listeners recognize that. What's one thing that you hope all of your students, because let's say all of our listeners are your students, including myself, what's one thing you want to end with relative to what you want to share with our listeners as an educator?
Christopher, first of all, thanks for the kind words. I mean, you know, these are the kind of words, or the particular words that, you know, usually a teacher relies on, you know, to have energy in the morning and, you know, to wake up and you know, and go for another day in Vietnam. And that's, good morning, Vietnam. Here we go. One more day. But again, I mean, one thing that I can point out to your listeners, Christopher, that may be you know, maybe something to think about, is the way I currently introduce myself. When people ask what I do, I usually tell people I help people learn more and better. And that's what I want every single day of my life. I want people to learn more because I know that if they do, the world will be a better place for everyone. You know, people will make better decisions. People will have a better understanding of the problems, which is actually more, even more important than reaching quick solutions and getting to, you know, maybe superficial solutions to important problems as we see all the time. And I want people to learn better. I want people to learn more proactively. I want people to be participants of their learning process. And I want people to learn for a long time, not to learn and then, you know, have an exam or have a test and then forget maybe a couple weeks later. I want that to be permanent. And I also usually say that, you know, if math didn't exist, and I taught and I still do teach math, I've been teaching math for more than 20 years at this point. But if math didn't exist, I would find something else to teach. And maybe that you know, that feeling that I found what I came to this world to do is what drives me forward, and is what, you know, has been in giving me a fair share of success in terms of what I do, and especially in terms of the connections I make and the relationships I build with my students. Probably most people that are listening to this podcast right now will live very long lives, will live up until they are 90 or up until they are 100 years old. So people have a lot of time to try things out and to find out what their skill set is most, is what their skill set is more appropriate for, or, you know, what they are really good at. And you know, all I can say is keep trying, keep looking around. I mean, it's not because you've decided to go for a bachelor degree or, you know, for a specific graduate school that you have to do that thing all your life, you know, and maybe sometimes, you know, feel miserable, feeling like you're a hostage of a choice that, you know, was not the correct one, or, you know, proved not a very wise choice. But if you keep looking, you know, and in a world with so many opportunities, I'm very positive that you will eventually find the same level of job satisfaction that, you know, I am certainly, that I share with Christopher in the professional speaking world.
That's awesome. That's awesome, Gustavo. Thanks so much for being our gift to this podcast, for your story, as gift to the world, Gustavo. How can our guests stay in touch with you?
I'm sorry?
How can our guests stay in touch with you?
Oh, your guests can stay in touch.
LinkedIn, probably, Instagram, Facebook.
Yeah, probably the best way to keep in touch would be Instagram, which would be Professor Gustavo Reis. And Reis, you would say R-E-I-S, as in Sam. So Professor Gustavo Reis. And I'm in all other different networks, YouTube, Facebook. But Instagram is probably the best starting point.
Great. Thank you so much. Have a great day, Gustavo.
You too. Thank you.